The Leaper, The Rock. This is Garden City Community College Bronkbusters Coaches Show. A chance to visit with Bronkbusters coaches and athletes live from Old Chicago in Garden City. Here's your host, the voice of the Bronkbusters, Cal Friedman.
Welcome back to Old Chicago. Here's September 14th. Welcome back into the Garden City Community College Coaches Show. Got a busy show here tonight live from Old Chicago. Later on in the show, we will hear from Bronkbusters football head coach Tom Minnick and wide receivers and strength coach at Garden City Community College Vaughn Van Dame as the Bronkbusters prepare for week number four of their season against Gordon's Fine Arts and Sports Academy. As a reminder, here at Old Chicago, there are some specials here tonight. Got football on tonight. FBS week three has gotten underway, and we are counting down before the start of Minnesota and Philadelphia to kick off week number two of the NFL season. So if you're looking to watch some football, you're looking to get some good food, slide on down to Old Chicago. And with that, I'll introduce my first guest of the night, which is men's and women's soccer head coach Corey Bryant. Coach, thank you for joining. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Something I've never asked you, actually. You are my first recurring guest on the show. I didn't ask you this. I don't know what your favorite food is.
I'm a pasta pizza guy.
Okay, yeah. So this is perfect for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I joked around about this with Coach Swedberg on Monday. I'm a sushi guy, so okay. He was telling me he's like, I need to go out and take you some food. I'm like, be careful about that because I'm a little bit of an expensive eater.
Well, around here you're probably hurting for some decent sushi. So.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't tried it too much yet, but we'll get into women's soccer and men's soccer. We'll start out with the men's team. Both teams played yesterday. Men's team picked up another non-conference win, 1-0 over Trinidad State. Team gets their fifth win of the season. What were some of your takeaways from that game?
Well, to be honest, I mean, there wasn't a lot. We got the win, so there's the positive side of it. They battled and grinded to be able to get that late goal in the second half, but it was kind of a lackluster effort on our side. I mean, that's a team that we've got to be able to put away early, and we can't. Take the chances that we have lightly. The first half we have them pinned back the entire first half, and they've got two blocks of four sitting on top of the box, and we just weren't very creative in how we wanted to try to find the goal. Ultimately we go into halftime 0-0 and have a come to Jesus moment a little bit, and at halftime, and we played better in the second half. I think they started to incorporate some of the things that we've talked about a little bit better, and find a few more good quality chances. Made the goalkeeper make a couple of decent saves in the second half, and ultimately found the goal late in the game. I guess the biggest takeaway, one, getting the victory at the end of the day, but just to continue fight and not getting overly frustrated with the situation, because it's tough when a team sits eight or nine guys on top of the box and takes away the space that you want to play in. You've got to find different ways to create goals, and that's not something that our program's used to dealing with. Normally we're the team that's kind of sitting in and defending and playing off the counter. So it was just something new that they hadn't experienced this year, and hopefully we take some positives away from that for in the future if something like that's to happen again.
Before I get into some of the individual performance, I want to ask, because it's the second straight home game you guys have had, where Seward County did it last week and Trinidad State did it basically all game. They throw 8-9 players behind the ball, play that low block. What does it take to break down those low blocks?
You've got to move the ball quickly. You can't just sit on it. You can't really look to play a ball in behind. For us, that's how we want to play. We're looking to play balls in behind and run onto the ball. And you could tell in the first half, they kept trying, and the ball just rolls out of bounds, right? And so you've got to be able to move the ball quickly. You've got to be able to pull defenders out. So how you do that is you've got to take shots when they're available. If they're not going to come out and mark you, you've got to be able to swing the ball from left to right and pull them out of the box, in the wide areas. And then if you're able to pull them out of the box in the wide areas, you can put a ball into the box. And normally there's a little bit more space to do that, to try to find space to get on a ball. But ultimately, you just got to pull them out of position. And you've got to try to manufacture those gaps that aren't really there in the normal run of play.
I was saying on the broadcast yesterday that it was either going to take a moment of magic or a mistake to get the goal in that game with how well both teams defended. I think it was a little bit of both, but the ball came to Jorge at the right time. Can you take me through what you thought of the goal?
He got a chance and he finished it. At the end of the day, that's what we judge strikers on. That's what we judge forwards on. He got the ball. He kind of had a little bit of a miss hit. It hit off the goalkeeper and kind of rolled underneath him a bit. But he was there on the spot and went and finished the rebound. I think ultimately that's what we're looking for. Some guy that just has the desire to score. And he seemed to do that here the last few games we've had. He had a lot of decent chances there in the second half, and he finally got the reward for one. So it wasn't the prettiest of goals. Like I said, it was a little lucky that it bounced away from the goalkeeper. But you know, we still got to be there in that position to finish it.
You mentioned in training that you guys did a lot of work leading up to this game and being a little quicker in the final third. Did you like what you saw in the second half, or does there still need to be a little more improvement?
Well, we didn't get a whole lot of opportunity to really do what we worked on. To be honest with you, the film that we watched, we weren't expecting them to sit as deep as they were. They really hadn't done that in the games that we had watched. I don't know what made them decide that that's what they wanted to do against us. But, we really didn't get to execute on what we worked on the night before just because they were sitting so deep. So yes and no. I think in the second half we were able to pull the trigger a little bit quicker and find those opportunities a little bit quicker. They weren't necessarily the best of opportunities, but sometimes that doesn't matter. Sometimes it's more just taking the chances and showing that you can be a threat from those in those situations. But there's still some work to be done, and there's still a little bit left to be desired from how we kind of took training into that game. Yeah.
Okay. So going on the topic of training, Jorge has now scored four in his last four. I guarantee he's probably got the biggest smile during training right now, doesn't he?
Well, he's a hardworking kid, man. That's what his goal. I mean, he wants the ball. He expects to be put in those opportunities. He was kind of a little bit upset. He didn't start yesterday. And that was a little bit of some team issues that we had to deal with. And so he was chomping at the bit when he got a chance to go in. So, we're happy for him. We're glad that he's off to the start that he is. And we couldn't hope for better from him.
And you mentioned that him and Haru have really worked well together up top. Did you see more of the same of that yesterday?
Yeah, Haru was a little taken back a bit. He wasn't able, once again, without the space to do things, Haru's kind of handcuffed a bit. You know, he's a player that if he gets in the space and has, opportunities to go 1v1 with somebody and attack them, that's where he really shines. And, not having that ability to do that kind of hurt him a bit. Overall, I mean, we're still happy with his work rate. He did everything else outside of trying to score a goal or be able to go at people offensively. His work rate defensively, his ability to pass the ball still and put teammates in good positions, we're happy with that.
As far as the defenders go, I thought they all were really good yesterday, the center backs. Let me start with Hami Namoko, who didn't play in the last home game, but he seemed really confident in the back, played, I think, the whole game, maybe if it was the whole game?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Talk to me about what you saw out of Hami last night.
He's a raw kid. He's an athletic kid. He's confident. He's probably at times probably overly confident. Okay. But I don't know if that's a bad thing or not. But what he was able to do is a lot because of his athleticism and his work rate. He got the opportunity to start because of some yellow card situations with Manuel, and hopefully. Hopefully he can continue to grow in that role and take advantage of those opportunities.
You've got two pretty experienced guys next to him. Now, you mentioned that Hami could be a little overconfident.
Yeah.
The run that Sam Scott went on in the first half, where he took it from defense and really pushed things forward, did you advise against that?
Yes.
Okay.
Very much so. Very much so.
I saw it in the moment then when I was like, wow, okay, he's really going for this. But as far as the two English center backs you got paying next to Hami right now, and Sam Scott and Max Hancock, who sold you on those two being those two consistent partners in the back line?
Honestly, with Sam came in, we recruited him to be a fullback, and he just kind of we put him in there out of need earlier in the year, and he just kind of relished in that role. With Max is an experienced guy. He was with us last year. He understood some of the trials and tribulations we went through last year, and he's kind of been on a war path here to right those wrongs, and he's done a good job of being a leader in the back and being vocal and kind of demanding some of the good things that you're seeing from our backs. I mean, he's the guy that if they mess up, he's going to pick them up. If they do something well, he's telling them they've done something well. So, you know, he's a guy that I think if we miss him, you know, we're not in the same position in the back line if he's out.
How important is it to have some of those guys year in, year out, you know, come back from the season before, have the lessons taken, or able to, you know, give those lessons to these younger freshmen and really help them out to grow?
At this level, it's not as big of a deal as what it would be probably at a four-year university, but it's still a big thing because he can sit here and say, look, this is what we went through last year, and this is what caused this, and this is why we're going through, you know, why we went through it. So he can kind of see those signs if things start to happen with players, or, you know, whether it's a mentality thing or a work rate thing, and he can say, look, guys, like, this is completely against what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. You're starting to trend in this direction, and we need to fix it. And I think that's where those guys can kind of come that come back, have the ability to recognize those things a little bit earlier.
Something you mentioned to me when I first talked to you is, you know, you got a lot of size in that back three. They're all over 6'1", I believe Hamid's 6'2", or maybe 6'3".
Yeah.
It's something you said you like to recruit. Mm-hmm. What inspired that kind of bigger center back build that you wanted to go after?
They're just physical. Like, you know, when you get bigger bodies, physical bodies, you're going to be, you're not as susceptible or vulnerable in the air, especially on set pieces, even though we've given away some bad goals on set pieces. But ideally, you know, you're able to win balls in the air. You're going to be more competitive in the air. And then you're going to be physical and strong, and you're going to be harder to move. And I like that type of player, especially across the back line. I want physical back center backs. I want guys that are going to beat up on the forwards and wear them down. You know, and then ultimately, if balls are played in the air, they're big bodies that can go win balls. And so that's kind of where that comes from. Is I was sacrificed a little bit of the athleticism to have those big physical guys.
Is there any soccer players that inspired you that you kind of watched before and said, you know, this guy's really good. This is what I kind of want across my back line.
From the professional ranks.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I don't know if there's anybody in particular that kind of inspired that. I just think it's something that kind of came from just my experience in playing and what I've seen over the course of my time coaching and watching, you know, the professional game at a high level. You know, those are, you know, I've seen quick little center backs with athleticism. I've seen guys that are big and strong, and it's just kind of what I prefer. I think it bodes well for what we want to do. In on the defensive side, it just works better for what we want.
You mentioned it on the defensive side, but also going forward, can you talk about what it brings to have, you know, those big bodies on set pieces going forward later on in games?
Well, as far as just having the big bodies, it's going to help win balls, right? And if we can win balls and distribute them out very quickly, instead of, you know, kind of playing, you know, standing in front of a guy and marking them 1v1 and hoping they make a mistake, we can just physically go get the ball. And so it helps us break out. It definitely helps us break out quicker and get into the attack and what we want.
So transitioning over to the women's team now, tough loss for them yesterday, 3-0 defeat against Butler. Due to some suspensions, you had to experiment a little bit. What were some of your thoughts of the way that you experimented?
It's still a question mark. You know, I don't think, you know, talking specifically about Mara, I don't think that she was – I don't think she did horrible. I think she had some good things. I think she did some positive things. It was just, you know, she was put in a situation she wasn't used to being in. So some of the decision-making in those positions weren't great. Other times she made great decisions. I just think the consistency was a little off, and that just comes with the inexperience. You know, Hannah once again had to play in the midfield. That's not something that she's used to doing, or does typically for us. If you ask her, she's a midfielder, but it's not something that she does typically for us. And she got worn down. I think she just got to, in the first half, we did a lot of chasing. We weren't disciplined defensively. And so the midfielders got into a lot of chasing, and she just got worn down from it. So she struggled a bit late in the half, just trying to find her marks. And she's a kid that's always going to fight through that and try to do everything she can. But you could tell it was wearing on her. So it was, I would say, you know, the experiments, there's still some question marks there. There were some positives definitely out of it. But it's just the inexperience in those roles. It kind of hurt us a little bit. Yeah.
So after Fight Club, which you referred to it as a couple of times this week, after Samantha Medina and Abby Bland were both sent off, they'll be back this weekend. You're getting Samantha back, firstly. top scorer, 8 goals on the season. How important will that be for this team?
Huge, huge. She has been missed over the last 2 games. I mean, her ability to create in behind. I mean, she's not the most efficient kid in front of goal, but the opportunities that she does get and the chances that she creates for herself is something that we just don't have anywhere else. And so, you know, even going back on the weekend against Dodge, you know, we draw with Dodge, and it that's a game. If we have her, I'm confident that we win that game by 2 or 3 goals, just because of what she would create going in behind and the chances that she would create for not only herself, but her teammates. And then last night it would have made I still think it would have made a big difference, just because once again, it's the same kind of situations. We didn't have a lot of threat going in behind. And we've got to create that if you want to be one of the better teams in the league, and especially beating teams like that. You've got to have those threats and those opportunities that in front of goal.
I did think the scoreline kind of humbled Butler yesterday. I thought that, you know, it was a tough game for you guys, but I definitely think that you deserved a goal a couple different times in that game.
I don't think the scoreline was fair for what it was. I think Butler deserved to win. But I do think we gave up some bad goals and some bad situations. I think they controlled the first half and were pretty dominant in the first half. But in the second half, I think they created maybe 2 chances and they scored on both of them, right? And those chances came from mistakes on our end. You know, other than that, I think we had the large majority of the ball. We created a lot of really good chances. Just unfortunately, you know, we just couldn't put them away.
You also mentioned about Samantha when I talked to you on Wednesday. Not only was she creating opportunities, but she was beginning to really learn the position.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how much she's progressed from her freshman year to now.
Well, you know, we get her here. A lot of kids out of high school, you know, especially domestic kids, when you bring them in, they're just told, hey, run and we're going to kick you the ball, right? And there's not any thought process going on when it comes to making runs or trying to deceive defenses or drag, you know, defenders in certain areas so we open up spaces other places. There's not a lot of that gets taught at the high school level and at the youth level. It's just, hey, if you're quick and athletic, run, we're going to try to find you the ball. So that was something that she had to try to break that habit. And she spent most of the fall last year trying to break that habit and got better in the spring. And this year, like you said, it's something that she's kind of grasped a hold of really well. And her ability to just think about what she's doing rather than just doing things for the sake of doing it, it has just grown. And it's something that is going to continue to grow. And the more that she improves, the bigger of an asset she's going to be for us.
This question kind of goes for either team, however you want to answer this. You're someone who has a lot of experience in this conference. You came over from Hutchinson, so you've been in the JL conference for a long time. To be truly great in this conference, what does it take?
On the women's side, it takes athleticism. You've got to have athletic girls that are willing to work. We've got the work part down. We've got some athletes, but we're kind of missing some of the more dynamic athletes in some positions. We probably need them in to compete at the very top of the league. On the men's side, you go watch Cali and watch them play. I mean, there's so much talent on the top end of this league and on the men's side. And it honestly, it's just a matter of finding guys that have a soccer brain and can play, guys that aren't selfish and guys that have, you know, an ultimate goal for themselves. I think we've got some of that, but we don't have it across the board yet. And not that it won't come by the end of the year, but we're still working through some of those issues.
So you guys have Coffeyville on the road for 2-1 Saturday. You come back here next Wednesday against Barton, a pair of JL conference opponents for both teams. What do you want to see improve from these 2 teams?
We've got to go down to Coffeyville on Saturday and get results. You know, ultimately, you know, we're judged by results, and I think Coffeyville is a good opportunity for both teams to really prove where they are. You know, historically, or over the course of the last 4 or 5 years on the women's side, Coffeyville has been a top 20 team. They've competed at the top of the league, and I think it's a real good chance for them, for our girls, to go down and prove that they belong in that conversation. On the men's side, I think they're ranked 18th in the country right now, and it's going to be another opportunity for them to, you know, show up and kind of make a statement. We really haven't done that yet this year. We played, you know, 45 minutes well, or, you know, we played 60 minutes well and maybe made a mistake and drew, or, you know, something silly. But it's an opportunity for them to go down and make a statement in the league and say, hey, we're here to play and we're here to compete. You know, Barton's going to be a different story, I think. Barton, going on the road at Barton, it's always a tough environment. You know, middle of the afternoon typically is when you play, and both of those teams are really good down there. They've got two teams I think are in the top 10 in the country right now. You know, the focus right now is let's get through Coffeyville. Let's see if let's see how well we handle that, and if we can go down and get results, and if we can take that momentum into Barton and let's see what we could do.
All right, that is Bronkbusters men's and women's soccer coach Corey Bryan, who joins us here on the Garden City Community College Coaches Show. As he just said, Coffeyville on Saturday. They will be back here in Garden City to take on the Barton Cougars next Wednesday for a doubleheader. Coach, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you again.
Yeah, no
best
worries.
Of luck on travels, and best of luck this
weekend. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. When we come back, we will transition from soccer to football, as we will have wide receivers coach and strength coach at Garden City Community College, Yvonne Van Dame, joining the show. That's all coming up here live from Old Chicago. This is the Garden City Community College Coaches Show.